Hey, Hicken here. Thanks for checking out the 1010XL On Demand. It's brought to you by Kuhn Flowers. Locations on Beach Boulevard and in Ponte Vedra. Kuhn Flowers wants to be your florist.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Another tricky day, not just a normal Monday in Jacksonville. My goodness, the news today and the cycle has certainly made its way through the First Coast. I just, I'm not entirely surprised, and right off the surface, I try to let each and every one of you know I don't define myself as the classic, I'm never wrong type of guy. Frankly, those people drive me nuts, and they should drive. Oh, I said all along that if Yannick didn't get the deal done, that he would. Yeah, sure you did. Fooled. I was fooled. His press conference was an A+. His press conference was the greatest thing I have ever heard. Okay? A man who said he loved Jacksonville, his leadership qualities and his play speaks for itself. The faith is in the organization and the agent to get the deal done, but he will lead by example. He will not miss any work. He will be there with his team. And then, bam, just like that, a couple of days later, he was gone. Communicated with the organization. But on that particular night, when I came back here with yours truly, Rick Ballew, into the night, as we do each and every evening, 7 to 9, tomorrow night, 8 to 10, I said there was a little bit of pushback, a little bit of national pushback, as people were wondering, why would he play for $2 million? He could make $17-18. Why did he go forward and handle things in an absolute perfect way? I mean, if you're a Jaguars fan, and most of the listeners are, and you heard that press conference that day from Yannick Ngakoue, you could not help but be just absolutely blown away and impressed that this man was acting the way that he was. You know, most are Yannick Ngakoue fans to begin with. If you weren't, I have to imagine after listening to him during that particular press conference, you became even more and more of a fan. But something happened. Someone got to him. And now there'll be a million questions. Who was it? Was it an agent? Was it a former player? Was it a current player? Was it someone else in the league who said to him, you're worth so much more than $2 million? You need to fight right now for a contract extension. And here we go. Every possible question now comes forward. Should he play and fill out the remainder of his rookie deal? He signed a contract. Going to make $2 million this year. So he'd go out and do it. The Jaguars are receiving blame because people will say, look at some of the bad contracts that they signed. Look at all the dead money that they're paying out right now. How could you give a contract like this to Blake Bortles? And he failed miserably. And then on top of that, you're paying Malik and you're paying Deshaun Gibson. You have all these bad contracts. The team's paying more than $40 million on dead money. And I'm looking at the latest figures that say that they have $9,336,000. All right? That is somewhat alarming. When you look at it, because, you know, there still are a couple of rookie deals that need to get done. What do the Jaguars really have left that they can spend? What is going on with Telvin Smith? Will he return? I mean, if Yannick Ngakoue tells us he's not going anywhere and he leaves a couple of days later, and Telvin Smith tells us that he's retiring for a year, taking a year off, how convinced are we that that is actually the case? What if he showed up tomorrow? And I find that hard to believe. What if he showed up in late July, early August? I mean, again, these things are still on the table. He could wake up one morning with a complete change of heart. So we got a lot to do tonight as far as this particular story rolls through Jacksonville. This is not a good situation. There's really no other way to say it. This is a problem for the franchise. This is a major distraction. He is one of the best football players at his position in the NFL. And right now, financially speaking, the Jaguars can't afford it. At least, I believe they can't afford it. I don't know how they can put together money by restructuring contracts or doing some things along those lines. Do they become proactive with Telvin Smith? What if, have they already filed an agreement with the NFL to put him on the retired list or did not report list for this year? Can they recoup whatever the amount of money is? I know he's expected to make $9.75 million, Telvin Smith, and his cap number I see is $12.56 million. Again, money's interesting, and I'm looking at a couple of different sources here. You get a one source, they give you one situation as far as the money. You go to another, it's a little bit different. So these NFL books are always pretty interesting, depending on where you go as far as your source. But the money's around the same. Is that what the Jaguars have to do right now? Would they have enough money by freezing out Telvin and restructuring? I don't know. You tell me. Brandon Linder, A.J. Boye, those would be the two that I'd look at. Is Linder in their long-term future? You know, Marcel Darius, Calais Campbell, those huge contracts. And this could probably be it for both of those two on that defensive line. So there's a lot of questions here. We'll try to do our best to take a look at where the Jaguars are and what's next. I'm disappointed. I am, and there's a part of me that totally understands what Yannick Ngakoue is doing. This is his body. This is his business. He's underpaid. However, he did fall to the third round. He was a 69th pick in the draft. This is year four of the rookie contract, and he signed it. A lot of players have to live up to that. Then they get the major payday when they get ready for their second contract. If this was a typical year, you go back to early on during the Dave Caldwell regime, and you think of the millions and millions and millions of dollars that they had and how they were forced to gut the entire organization and really start from scratch. If it was one of those deals where you had all of that money, you know, Houston, last week, say goodbye to their general manager. Look at the amount of money Houston still has under the cap. And they're fighting the Jadeveon Clowney situation. That's a different story than the Jaguars, who right now are cash strapped. They just don't have the money to say, all right, Yannick, what do you want? Let us know. Here you go. That's not the situation here in town. So you point fingers at one side and then you look at the other and you kind of hold up your hands like, what else do you expect them to do? Because the easy answer is they blew it. They signed some bad contracts. The Blake Bortles contract was a disaster. But you can't go back on that now. You have to live through it. Yeah, it was a bad deal. And the fact that it comes at the expense of Yannick Ngakoue right now is disappointing. But what else can you do? You can't go back and rip up that deal. They thought that they could win with him. They did not. You know, you may believe right now they gave too much money to Nick Foles. If you think that that is the issue, that is your opinion. I happen to be one going way back saying, no, don't pay Nick Foles. Go out and draft a quarterback. You could have gotten Dwayne Haskins. You could have gotten a guy. Would have been far cheaper to do things that way than give the enormous amount of money to Nick Foles. Well, Nick Foles has showed early on that it appears he's going to be worth the money, doing a lot of great things. And again, it's June. You really can't tell at this particular time. All right, on top of that, Yannick Ngakoue, maybe the one guy that you don't want tweeting about this has. And again, there's two sides to the story here. Yannick Ngakoue was a captain of the football team a year ago. And we have talked about how bad the leadership is on the Jaguars football team, particularly on the offensive side of the football field. Here's another guy who stood there and said all the right things and looked the part, then took the last six OTAs off, which is his right. It's voluntary. But still, there was one guy who
probably felt should have been in camp this year? It's Leonard Fournette. And he elected not to. Now he goes on Twitter. It wasn't a brutal tweet. Just said, pay Unique. Okay? Supporting his teammate. He's a captain. Comes out with these particular comments. I'm sure you have an opinion on that. So I tell you what I'm going to do tonight. I'm going to mix things up just a little bit on this Monday. I'm going to grab a lot of early phone calls in the program. Just felt I wanted to give you an opportunity tonight to, you know, tell us how you feel. You're the Jaguars fan. Here you have 3 days remaining. It's mandatory minicamp. You get it tomorrow morning, Wednesday morning, and Thursday morning. You have three more practices, and then you get about a five-week break during the latter part of June and throughout the month of July until they report again for the start of training camp. I have said all along that I thought there was a really good chance that they're going to be able to get Yannick Ngakoue done. They are masters at this. They can find a way. I'm glad it's not my job, but they can find a way to grab some money. You restructure one contract, you restructure another contract. Again, what are they going to do with Telvin Smith? I don't know. How are they going to find this money? Could they cut a player that we haven't discussed? Is that a chance that that could happen? There's a lot of different things that are on the table. And, you know, could the contract be a contract like what Carson Wentz signed, late last week? Meaning, it was an extension of 4 years. Wentz was still going to play through year four of his rookie contract, and as a fifth-round draft pick, play through the fifth year, the team option, which really explodes financially speaking. But then they added 4 years on the back of that contract through the season of 2024. What if you say to Yannick Ngakoue, all right, you're going to play this year for $2 million, but your extension begins in 2020, and it becomes record-setting cash. I mean, it becomes just out of this world type of money. And if a majority of that, I don't know, 60, 70, 80% of it, whatever, is guaranteed, is that good enough for Yannick Ngakoue? Because I got to believe right now his thought is, if I tear a knee or I do something like that, I'm playing for $2 million, then you're throwing me out there after a rehab, and who knows what could happen. Whereas if you have a large portion of the contract guaranteed, but it starts in the year 2020, is that enough for him to say, yeah, okay, good, amen? Don't know. But it's something we're going to explore tonight over the next couple of hours. So glad you're with us. My name's Rick Bowie. Let's grab your calls on everything that has come on in today with the Jags, the return of Jalen Ramsey. He will be here for mandatory minicamp. Yannick Ngakoue will not. Also, Leonard Fournette with some takes on social media, if you will, as to what the Jags need to do when it comes to paying Ngakoue. Wide open phone lines for you tonight, 641-1010. You can also get us on the 1010XL text line built by Lifetime Enclosures. That's 641-1010. And as always, you can get me on Twitter, Ballou, B-A-L-L-O-U, 1010XL. Let's get things rolling. We'll grab some of your calls. 641-1010. We start on a Monday right here with Rick Ballou as we go into the night.
Into the night with Rick Ballou on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, fun day in St. Augustine at the Slammer and Squire. The 12th annual Guggen took place. Outstanding day until the rain came. I think most had about 14, 15 holes in. And then it was just, it got crazy. The rain got sideways. But it was nasty when it got there. What a great golf course. What a great place. The Slammer and Squire. Always have a lot of fun out there. Good to see a lot of 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Listeners, sponsors, all the good people. A great event today. So I think typically we had it in, what was it, April maybe? Things got pushed around this year because of the players moving that back to March. So said we did it in June, and I think that the biggest fear going in would have been the heat. You know, because it's been brutal around here as of late. But the heat was fine. You know, it was just the rain came in the afternoon. But anyway, still a very good day And good to get out there early this morning and play some golf. All right, the Jaguars, 3 days of mandatory minicamp. All of a sudden now, here comes another issue. The Jaguars haven't really had to deal with a lot of this recently. I mean, you can go back to Maurice Jones-Drew, Shad Khan, brand new owner, his comments then that he made. You know, a man who has handled millions, or not millions, but thousands and thousands as far as people who have worked under him, where he's been a boss. He's worked with some big companies with, you know, factory workers and unions. So he knows what this is all about. And you remember the way Shad handled things then. Well, here comes Ngakoue, and this is mandatory minicamp. Right, everything has been voluntary up until this point. They can actually fine him if he doesn't come to practice tomorrow. I don't know if they will. I don't know if they'll tell us. Typically, the team never says anything about it. You hear it. It gets leaked the other way through an agent or something along those lines. But I do want to ask you, and I want to grab some calls at 641-1010. Where do you sit with all this? And it's tough for you as a fan to be level-headed, because I feel like you want to go back to mistakes that the organization has made, particularly the Blake Bortles contract. And what I'm trying to do is say, I get that. We all get that, but you can't fix that. That's done. So even though it's a decent conversation, you know, conversation piece for you and your buddies or whatever, it's not reality. That was a mistake. Unfortunately, it was a mistake that they wouldn't admit. That was a little bit disappointing when we did meet with Tom Coughlin and Dave Cobb. They still stuck with their guns, even after he was released, and they went out and they signed Nick Foles, saying that he earned it and that he didn't regret it. I guess I'm falling into the trap as well as looking back. But what I'm trying to do now is kind of separate the huge mistake, that contract and some other contracts. And where do you lie now with this football team? Are you one of those who says, listen, he signed a 4-year rookie deal, live up to this deal, go play this year. Go play for the $2 million that you are expected to make. Or are you one of those who says, no way. He should hold out. He deserves to get his money. He has played well ahead of where he was drafted. And he is one of the better defensive ends in the National Football League. And he should be paid for that. The question remains, how do you afford to pay him? How can you put it together? So we'll grab some feedback on that. Do have a couple of open lines if you'd like to get on in. 641-1010, also on the text line tonight, 641-1010. Let's get things started by going to Daniel. How you doing tonight, Daniel?
Hey, I'm doing good, man. How are y'all?
Good. Thanks for the call.
All right. I say pay the man. I mean, like you said, he's outlived his contract, or everyone else is saying. I heard he has 29 sacks in 3 seasons. I mean that's good to go, man. That's full throttle. I say give the man some money. That's all I got to say. Have a good night.
29 and a half sacks, but more quarterback hits. I mean, sometimes those sack statistics are, you know, how do I want to say it? The sack statistic to me is somewhat overrated. I mean, nothing is more game-changing on the defensive side of the football than a strip sack, and Unique has been real good at that. Right? You can make a case that maybe a pick six is in the same category. But if you look at hits that Unique Ngakoue has had, quarterback hits, quarterback hurries, they don't get nearly as much attention. And Unique Ngakoue is especially strong in that category. Last year, he had 33 quarterback hits. So you take 9.5 sacks, 33 quarterback hits. There's no telling how many quarterback hurries he was a part of. There's that much more as to why he's valuable to this football team. And then, you know, there was a point when this guy came out of Maryland and you watched him practice early on. Phenomenal speed, but he appeared to be a guy that could do one thing and one thing only, and that was rush the quarterback. He has become a better football player when it comes to the run. There's no doubt about that. So, what's the Jaguars' stance in all of this? I'm sure they'd love to sign him. But what if they actually believe that Jalen Ramsey is more important? Dare I say that Miles Jack is even more important? And that they think Josh Allen, who's a bigger man than Yannick Ngakoue. I mean, if you stand Allen up to Ngakoue, there is a noticeable difference between these two. All right? I mean, it's just obvious. It is. You look at him and you can really tell. It's amazing. I mean, you're talking about a guy in Yannick Ngakoue that is, what, 6'1", 6'2", 245, somewhere in that neighborhood, and he's put on some weight. He's done some nice things over the last couple of years. You look at Allen, man, he's a couple of inches taller. He's 15, 20 pounds heavier. Allen's done all sorts of interesting. I mean, Allen's a legit 6'5". He really is. And I said 15, 20 pounds. I'm not sure what I just said a moment ago. I'm talking that he's probably 30 pounds heavier than Yannick Ngakoue. If Yannick Ngakoue is 240, I'm looking at Allen right now, who's probably 265. No, not 260. Let's say 25 pounds. That's fair. So what if the Jaguars right now are saying, we really like Yannick Ngakoue, but we think we have the future as a pass rush guy. We can't afford to pay both. We need to go in a different direction for some different players. And in this league, it is a copycat situation where they can look at what happened with Dee Ford, and they can look at what happened as well with a guy like Frank Clark, and the amount of money that those two players made after they were tagged and traded. The Jaguars could do just that. Making Ngakoue play this year for $2 million. Put a franchise tag on him after the season. And then move him right around draft day. And acquire a first-round draft pick in return. Now, I'm not saying that this is what the Jaguars are going to do. I absolutely hope that the Jaguars re-sign this man. I want him on this football team. We can brag about Josh Allen all we want. We don't know if he can play in this league. We don't. There's been pass rush ends before that this team has drafted that haven't materialized. I mean, just look at a couple of ex-Gators. Hasn't worked. You know, go back to Derek Harvey. Go back to the situation here with, you know, a couple of years ago with Dante Fowler. There's no guarantee here for Josh Allen. And by the way, Yannick Ngakoue is healthy. Yannick Ngakoue plays every Sunday. Josh Allen played his entire 4 years at Kentucky. He was healthy there, okay? Minor injury during OTAs, a knee. I guess it's nothing really to be concerned about. I guess, but we still don't know the answer to that question. And I'm just thinking out loud here. I hope the Jaguars re-sign him. As a matter of fact, I hope it happens before the month of August. I really do. But what if the Jaguars were thinking that that's the way that they have to go? They're going to have to really get into it and show some tough love to one of these football players when it comes to negotiations. They can't just open up the vault and say, here you go. Yannick, what do you want? Take it. Jalen, what do you want? Take it. Miles Jack, what do you want? Take it. They can't afford to do that with all these players. They only need... Maybe, you know, I'm hoping they can do it to at least two out of the three. They might only be able to do it to one of the three. So anyway, it's worth taking a look at, depending on which way you believe that particular story is going to go. All right, also, when I come back, I want to talk a little bit more about your opinion on Leonard Fournette and all of this. You know, it's so easy just to say nothing at all. And Fournette, I think, is another guy that I have defended perhaps more than I really should. I mean, I've always kind of played the role of you're never going to get value in return for Leonard Fournette. And that is why I've always looked at it that way. Fix it. And obviously the Jaguars have tried to do everything that they can to fix it. And whenever you talk about Fournette, you know, maturity issues come up and, you know, you question his character and you question about whether or not he's truly dedicated. You know, and he comes here and he says all the right things, how he went to Wyoming and he's down to 226 and he put last year behind him. And Terry Rubisky says this man wants to run for 2,000 yards. This man wants to win a Super Bowl. All the right stuff is said. Then all of a sudden he blows off the last six workouts. And here we are on the eve of mandatory minicamp and he says pay Yannick Ngakoue. What's your opinion on that? Is he the one guy on the team that shouldn't say anything at all? I mean, do you feel that way now? Just don't say anything at all, Yannick? Or is Yannick Ngakoue still a team captain? I doubt he'll be voted in as team captain this year, the way he was voted in a year ago. But do you look at it a little bit differently, that you like the fact that Fournette, who regardless if you love him or not, or even like him or not, he is one of the few guys on this football team who moves the needle. I mean, if this was a pay him that came from about 50 other guys on this roster, and there's actually 90 in camp right now, so let's say about 85 other guys, it wouldn't really matter. But Fournette is one of the few guys on the team, whether you like it or not, when he says something or he tweets something out, it still carries along with it some weight. So we'll come back and we'll discuss that as well, your opinion on Fournette getting involved. If you want to, a couple of ways you can get on in. First off, Twitter, Ballou, B-A-L-L-O-U, 1010XL, or get us on the phone lines tonight or on the text line. 641-1010, that is the number, 641-1010. Much more on Ngakoue as well as Leonard Fournette. And let's get into the David Ortiz story. What a brutal one out of the Dominican Republic. Right there in Santo Domingo, where I was just a couple of months ago, right there. They love him in Santo Domingo. When I was in the Dominican Republic, I think it was in February or March, I can't remember now, there were, you know, boards of him up, billboards of David Ortiz up. They absolutely love baseball in the Dominican Republic. It is far and away their favorite sport. These are their heroes. But what an incredible story that is coming out of the DR right now involved with him. If you have not heard, I'll share that with you as well as we continue to go into the night with Rick Ballou.
Into the night with Rick Ballou on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, just on the way tonight, 7:38, we go till 9. Denny Thompson, James Coleman will take over then as the Sports Den. Yannick Ngakoue will not attend mandatory minicamp. Really confusing story for me. Confusing in one area and one area only. That is, why did he say what he said back during that presser? And, you know, I can't figure out. I spent a lot of time thinking about this today. Again, I openly gushed about the way he handled things when he spoke to the media. It was one of the most incredible things I'd ever heard. I mean, it was like the blueprint for being a team football player. For doing and saying all the right things, including, no, I'm not going to miss any time. I'm not going to miss any workouts. What happened? I mean, if he didn't have a conversation about this with his agent prior to it, why is that agent still representing him? Yeah, I talk often about knowing what you are supposed to say. You can go back to Murray when he won the Heisman. He went on with Dan Patrick during Radio Row Week at the Super Bowl. And it was really embarrassing for the young man because they brought him up there, and Dan Patrick asked like the most simple question of all time. You going to play football or baseball? He didn't know how to answer the question. You would have thought they were asking him to solve world hunger. I mean, he had no clue. And I'm sitting here watching saying, are you kidding me? How could he not be briefed about something like that? If Yannick Ngakoue came out a couple of weeks ago when he met the media and he spoke truly from the heart about the way that he feels, and this was going to be his approach, and he didn't run it by those who represent him, they should no longer be working for him. Because depending on how you look at it, this does make Ngakoue look bad. He didn't have to make those comments. He didn't have to say that I'm a team leader and I'm not going to miss these workouts. Why say that and then take days off? Why not say anything at all? Why not just say, listen, I want a contract. I've earned it. But he took the extra mile and was really specific about how his actions speak for themselves. He's a team leader. He's a great football player. He wants to get paid. Yet, he's going to do all the right things. You understand what I'm trying to get at here? If he didn't say any of that, then I don't think there'd be much of an issue about him holding out, because I think it would be expected. The point I'm trying to make, I understand some people go away during the offseason. If you missed his initial comments, you didn't think this day was going to come because of what he said. And my point is, if that's the way that he felt, obviously his agent had to have known that. Why would he say something like that without briefing it with his agent? Because it appeared to me that this is what happened. And until I'm told differently, this is what I am going to believe. Yannick Ngakoue said what he said, which was one of the greatest things that you have ever heard if you're a Jaguars fan. His agent got word of it and said, what are you doing? What are you doing? Why make those comments? Now, can you make the rule that he was doing it based on good faith? Maybe come out and say all the right things, and the good faith is that the organization is going to get with his agency and they're going to get a deal done. Could there have been a situation where this was maybe part of the game plan? I go in with this attitude. Say it. Here's a bargaining chip. Say all the right stuff. And then I'm going to make a call tomorrow and let's see what their offer is. Maybe they did that. Maybe it was a laughable offer. Jacksonville can't lowball Yannick Ngakoue. You can't do that. And we just saw the money that Trey Flowers made. We just saw the money that Frank Clark made. We just saw the money that Dee Ford made. You can't lowball him. You've got to pay him along the same lines. But that's what I'm confused about. That's the one thing that I wish I really had the answer to. Because he appeared to be so incredibly genuine. And again, man, it was a feel-good situation to hear what Ngakoue said. And I told you that night that there was already some pushback. There was already some people out there saying, why? Why would he do this? And now, depending on how you look at it, listen, there's a large portion of the audience that's going to say this. Shut up, Ballou. The man's the best defensive end in the NFL, one of them. Pay him. End of story. I get that. But there's also the other school of thought that says, why did he make the comments that he did to the media and then all of a sudden back away and not show up for the remainder of the OTAs and announce now that he's not going to be a part of mandatory minicamp? What happened? It appears to me that he went in and spoke to the media without talking to his agency, his representation. And that's disappointing. Again, there's nothing I like more than for him to get a deal done. But it just, depending on how you look at it, you can really make a case that this looks bad on him because of what he said. And he wasn't forced to say it. He said it on his own. All right, let's grab some more of these calls. 641-1010 is the number. Let's go to Dave, who's Into the Night with Rick Ballou. Welcome, Dave.
Hey, man, how you doing? Good. Love your show.
Good, Dave.
I can't say a whole lot, I guess, since I was waiting to come on and listen to you. Pretty much made my comments for me. Yeah, I agree with you, man. It just dumbfounds me why he did what he did. Personally, if it was me and I'm a professional athlete, why wouldn't you get a hold of your agent, go over things, find out where you stand the whole nine yards before you come out and say something? And I hate to sound bad, but say something stupid like that. And I don't mean it in a bad way, but he just made himself look bad as far as the team goes. Am I wrong in thinking that? Or
well, I don't think it was stupid or bad. I think it was genuine. I think what he did is he said, you know, I love being here. I love playing here. Look at my work. It's among the best in the league. I want to stay here. You know, here's a good faith from my point. Let's get this deal done between the team and my agent. And it feels now, Dave, like he made those particular comments without talking to his agent and his agency. Because it has totally backfired since. And I understand this is huge business. And that a man's word isn't what it once was. Because you're in a negotiating tactic. But this man just said a couple of weeks ago all of these incredible comments. And then he pulled away right after the fact. So it's either one of two things. This was a strategy that didn't work, or he went in without really any knowledge of how the game works, which is fine. He's a 24-year-old youngster. But that's why he pays an agent. You know, some of these agents have too many people that they represent. They don't give enough attention individually to their clients. This right now kind of feels that way. It wasn't an act. This isn't Hollywood. That wasn't Yannick Ngakoue going there playing the role of an actor. Man, that was genuine. You ask anyone who was there who watched that. And I want to tell you something. It was a head shaker. That night I came here again for the third time, and I was like, wow. That was one of the most interesting press conferences I have ever heard. He laid it all out and said every right thing that you can say. I mean, again, if you were a lukewarm Ngakoue fan and you heard that press conference, you couldn't help yourself become more of a fan. And then his actions after the fact are the exact opposite. That's the point I'm trying to get at. Why say it and then do the opposite? I'm sure others will say, these are called contract negotiations. And now it's becoming a battle. And this could really manifest. This could grow. This could become a distraction. This is what you do not want on this team. And do they have the financial wares to make this happen? He could hold out. You know, what do you have to play? Is it 11 weeks until you get an accrued NFL season? I mean, best case scenario, you get the deal done and he's in week one. Okay, I've only seen the odds for week one, but my guess is the Jaguars are underdogs 5 out of the first 6 games. What if he holds out through 11 weeks, 10 games, comes back and they're 3-7? Season shot. That's worst case scenario. Okay, best case scenario, again, the deal gets done. He's happy. You move on. We don't know what they're going to do. I'm sure they have sleepless nights over there right now trying to figure out what are they going to do. How are they going to put this deal together? Tons of response on the text line tonight. Text 1010XL text line built by Lifetime Enclosures, including, I love this, the very first one I get tells me to report the accurate salary. Well, I've said it several times now. $2 million, just over $2 million. The official number is $2,025,000. I don't know what else to tell you. If you're upset, fine. You're upset. The 6452 says, this is from Bert, sign him or fine him. Only mistake here is players scared to call him out for lying. One day he's 100% Jag, next day you're screwing us over. Yeah, some people are upset. individuals these days. Same with Tubman. From fans to players, you can't criticize someone's choice. 7169. He's a damn ball hawk. Doesn't play DB. He gets after it. Pay him. 7169. I'm with you. How are they going to pay him if they don't have the money? Yeah, 6452, he deserves it, but you have to work out your contract, yada, yada, yada. Let's see. Some of these I can't read. Folks, if you drop language like this, we got a Lori Loughlin comparison on here. I'm not going to do that. The 8846, these guys are football players, not math majors. Why would you expect them to say smart things? Yeah. Unique Ngakoue is a smart kid. I've done a weekly show with him, talk with him often. He's animated. At times, he's pretty mellow. But I tell you what, when he flips the switch, he gets after it. The 9509 says it was a brilliant plan. He showed up at the start of OTAs, made a brilliant press statement, got the fans and media on his side. Then he wisely followed his agent's advice and walked away, allowing everyone to blame his agent instead of him. For the 9509, I like it. Okay. Really? Do we believe that? Really? I don't. I don't at all. I don't know. I'm guessing. I believe he went into that presser without telling his agent what he was going to do. And you know what? Who knows if Unique Ngakoue even knew what he was going to do? Maybe he just got kind of caught up in it. That happens every once in a while. Maybe he just got caught up in it all. And then he started rolling downhill with these comments. But the way I'm looking at it now is that he made these comments and his agent was like, Unique, no, no, no. You just cost yourself some cash by being as honest as you were. You need to back away now from OTAs. Jackson needs to quit trying to play the odds and play the and pay the man. The man has given his best. He's outperformed his contract. And what if he gets an injury like the kid from the Steelers, Shazier, broken back, something that is tragic. He needs to be paid, given Jacksonville's his best. You know what? That is what they're thinking. Yep. That's why. For $2 million, or excuse me, I'm going to quote the money accurately, for $2,025,000. That's good money for you and I. For these football players with their very short career, it's not good money. I've got to hit a break. I'm overdue. All right, let's do that. Come back. More on this, the big Poppy situation. And why are all these Florida people rooting for Mike Martin? I mean, what? We'll discuss in hour number two with Rick Ballew.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, Arkansas rolled Ole Miss today, 14-1. Florida State will get Arkansas in the College Baseball World Series. Auburn, a 14-7 winner over North Carolina as well. Auburn put up 13 in the first inning of that game. Pretty incredible stuff. Vanderbilt is going. Texas Tech is going. Mississippi State is going. Michigan is going. You had Florida State and the two they're in today. Those are your eight. Eight are left for the College World Series. It was just a phenomenal weekend. I mean, to see what the Noles have done, winning a couple in Athens and winning a couple in Baton Rouge. I mean, they only went 1-1 in the Atlantic Coast Conference Tournament. So Martin got his 40th. Now he's going back to Omaha, which is a great story. And it's tough to put my finger on all this because it feels a little bit like a mirage. I mean, this is not a great Florida State baseball team. This is a lukewarm, average team that has really gotten their doors blown off them this year. Florida's owned them. Miami beat them. They showed life in that Clemson series. It's really been up and down. They've lost some midweek games to JU, Stetson. I mean, they have 21 losses. But they got it going at the right time, and they're hot. And I don't know. It's all working for 11. It's all working for Mike Martin. Today at the Guggen, bumped into plenty of sponsors and listeners and some good people over there. And I had 4 or 5 different people come up to me at different times and basically echo the same thing. And it sounded a little bit like this. I'm not a Florida State fan. I'm anything but. I'm a Gator fan. However, I'm pulling for Mike Martin to win at this year's College World Series, to win the title. And I'm, now granted, I'm sober. I was one of the only people out there who wasn't drinking today because of the show tonight. But I'm looking at him kind of cross-eyed, and I'm like, what is wrong with you people? I mean, seriously. I have never, I mean, when Derek Jeter was retiring, I didn't all of a sudden be like, boy, I really hope the New York Yankees can win a World Series. Now, granted, they had won 5 with Jeter. Maybe that's not the best analogy. But I would never root for Florida in anything. I don't care what it is. I mean, you name it, and no. I'm automatically going to go with the opponent. And, you know, listen, I don't have the hatred. Listen, I care about football, all right? Basketball, yeah, maybe some juices can get flowing. But, I mean, Florida State beats Florida in basketball like every year, and it never really gets mentioned. It's usually like around a holiday or something like that, and conveniently the media just blows it off. I've never seen anything like this in sports before. I mean, how do you explain what is going on with this? And some of these people, I'm going to mention any names. Some of these people I'm borderline shocked by that they can get into that frame of mind where they actually are going against their rival and are rooting for him now to win. I understand Mike Martin's a tremendous man. I have the utmost respect for him. But I could never do it if the shoe was on the other foot. Maybe you're just a better person than I am. Or maybe it's because it's baseball and it's a fringe sport. And people really don't care. People really don't watch. I mean, there's a small minority of you out there who do, a very small percentage of you out there who do. When it really comes down to it, it doesn't matter. I saw last night on Twitter, someone put out there, would you sacrifice another losing season and another bowl-less season for Florida State football for 11 to win the national championship? And I didn't respond to it, but my response is not even at 1%. I would take a Florida State football victory right now on the 10th day of June over Florida this year than I would Florida State winning a baseball national championship. That's just the importance to me and the difference of it. It's gravy. It's the same thing with Leonard Hamilton in basketball. It's gravy. I mean, come on. You know that as well as I do. It's football. Football's the only thing that really matters around here. Basketball and baseball and when women get into the College World Series and stuff, that's all gravy. It's not even, in my mind, worth 1%. I'd take a victory here over Boise State on opening day than I would a Florida State national championship in baseball. And I was lucky enough that I did Florida State baseball games in the late Lee Bowen in the early 90s. I love meat. All right, Minkiewicz, Drew, those great teams. But you can't compare. You can't do it, at least in the way I'm wired. It's not even close. It's literally, in my mind, not even worth 1%. And that's obvious. If I was doing this conversation football-wise, you'd be knocking down my social media. You'd be knocking down my Twitter. You would, you know, you would be responding that. The fact that it's baseball, again, it's a fringe sport. Baseball's boring for a lot of people. They don't watch it. We saw it even in game one in, I think it was the eighth or ninth inning when they beat LSU. Routine ground ball, second base, he booted it. I mean, just, there's such a drop-off. There's a drop-off from pro to college football. There's a drop-off, obviously, from the NBA to college basketball, certainly now with one-and-dones. But the drop-off between Major League Baseball and college baseball is insane. College baseball is almost like a glorified high school all-star edition. Routine ground balls are often booted in college baseball. That's just, those are the facts. Kids go to school. I mean, we talked about it a few weeks ago. Look at the alma maters. Look at the amount of Major League Baseball players that they have produced. They're not great. You know, you got a couple who are above average. I'm not ripping the process. I'm just merely stating that the great players in this state, they don't go to college. They go the route of Chipper Jones. Okay? That's how they do it. Who's the kid who's pitching right now in, who's the kid out of Orlando? The great pitcher. Not Cole Hamels, but played for Arizona. I can't think of his name. Out of Orlando. 35. Zach Greinke, 35 years old. Or out of Orlando. Chris Sale, out of Lakeland. They go straight after it. We're going to ride the bus down on the farm for a year or two or three. They don't go the route of college baseball. Those are the facts. But, yeah, I mean, wow. Really surprised by that, that a lot of people now are have this feel-good for Mike Martin and are rooting for him. I mean, that's just, I'm happy that you are. I clearly don't get it. All right, something else I don't get is David Ortiz being shot in the Dominican Republic. I told you about my experience there recently. I went out for a three-day golf trip, and it was phenomenal right there in Santo Domingo. But I told you just how third world it is and how dangerous it is. I mean, this golf course we played right where Robinson Cano lives. Yet you walk 100 yards and, man, I mean, it's dangerous. So Big Poppy's hanging in a bar, and there are all sorts of different reports. Initially, it was a botched robbery attempt, and there's video on it. Well, now there's a publication that's called The Mail, and I see it here and there, and I don't know how the Daily Mail, I don't know how credible it is. And the fact that a lot of major publications in the United States have not picked up on it makes you wonder a little bit. But it has picked up in several different countries, including in the Dominican Republic, where police believe a drug lord ordered the hit on David Ortiz. This came over a suspected affair. You go and you read this article in the Daily Mail, and it says that investigators believe the two men, who are allegedly police officers, were hired by a drug lord to kill David Ortiz. The lord believed Ortiz was having an affair with his wife, and this happened right in his hometown of Santo Domingo. No further confirmation on this particular story. I mean, you've got to be, I don't even know what else to say. Big Poppy, David Ortiz, everyone loves this man. Okay, you're talking about loving Mike Martin. Okay, even Yankee fans respected David Ortiz. People just like this guy. Smiles, the big gap between his teeth, always having a great time. I was in the Dominican Republic, and there are billboards of this man all over the place. He is one of their favorite sons. He is one of their heroes. And for those who have never been to the Dominican Republic, it's different than it is here from the States in so many different ways and reasons. Now, listen, it's beautiful out there in some sections. It's also a cesspool in others. But driving by parks, you don't see guys playing hoops. You don't see guys out there throwing around the football. You don't see guys out there kicking around the soccer ball. You don't see guys batting a tennis ball back and forth. No, they're all hanging by the baseball field. And I'm talking hundreds and hundreds and hundreds just waiting to get an at bat and to get a position on the field. Totally different than what you get here in the States. I mean, this is what they strive to be, and that is why it is so incredibly popular. Baseball in the Dominican Republic is very competitive. They produce outstanding baseball players, and it is their number one sport far and away. I mean, just look at all the players that are over here playing in Major League Baseball from the Dominican Republic. But this makes no sense at all. Now, I have no idea what has really gone on. I don't think anyone does at this time. We'll let the investigation play itself out. But just think of all the barriers that are being crossed, if in fact there's any truth to this story. And again, I've referenced the Daily Mail. Take this for what it is. I keep checking news sources here in the States. And a lot of these reports are tinkering around it, but they won't even refer to the Daily Mail or mention any of these allegations. True journalists here back in the States, which may mean something. But, you know, again, it's only been one day as far as the investigation. Believe me, people are on. The latest on Ortiz, though, is being flown back to Boston. Red Sox sent a plane, damage to his liver, damage to his kidney, dangerous, part of one of his organs was removed. I'll find out exactly what that is. But being flown back to Mass General in the city of Boston, you know, one of the best hospitals in the world, getting him out of the Dominican Republic. Dominican Republic's really had some bad news lately with folks from the United States. I mean, there's been a lot of deaths over there on cruises and bars. I mean, it's just been really pretty bizarre. And I hated it because I'm planning on going back in July. I mean, I loved it there. I had just phenomenal time playing golf. And I loved the people that I all met. But I think when I got back here, the first thing I did tell you is, yeah, it's dangerous. I mean, you could feel the danger in the Dominican Republic. Now, my buddy who owned the Chicago Pizzas here owns one there, owns one in Atlanta, owns one right there in the Dominican Republic, right there smack dab in the middle of Santo Domingo, right on the water. It's gorgeous. But, like, right across the street is, I mean, it's rough. Dangerous. So, but think of anything that's gone into this. Local hero, star of Santo Domingo, allegedly in an affair with a drug lord, the corrupt local cops try to gun him down. I mean, this is like Hollywood screenwritten material. And this actually happened a night ago? Beyond words for that. So, hopefully he's okay, number one. Hopefully this other stuff isn't true. I mean, I don't know if it makes it any better if it is a botched robbery attempt. But to think that there were hitmen involved to try to knock off David Ortiz and they were allegedly police officers in Dominican Republic. I mean, what? Anyway, we'll keep you updated. Kellen Winslow Jr. is going to jail for a long, long time. That has just come down. Wow, what a fall from grace, this young man. He had it all. He had it all at the U. And he had a solid NFL career, and it has dwindled away from nothing. If you haven't heard, we'll share that with you. That'll all be part of Truth Teller News and Notes coming up as we go into the night with Rick Ballew.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, on our text line, the 1010XL text line built by Lifetime Enclosures, the 1800 says, hopefully Mike Martin not only loses by double digits, but is also shut out completely the last game of his career. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of what I want. I mean, I don't want that. I want him to win it all, but that's kind of what I would expect out of Gator fans. I don't like feel sorry, feel good. I mean, I do in some aspects of life, but not in sports. I don't believe in lifetime achievement awards. I don't believe in any of that crap. And Mike Martin will go down as the all-time winningest coach in the history of college baseball. 40 consecutive years of 40 wins or more. A legend. Not being able to win a College World Series if he doesn't get it done this year in Omaha is going to be there. It's going to hang over his head. I think you can make the case now that it was almost more difficult not to win it than, in fact, win it. And they lost some games out there that were bizarre over the years. But I still just can't see how people would go the other way in a great rivalry like this. I mean, forever, Florida State dominated that rivalry. And I want to say with these, like, what Florida has done, I think they've won like 25 of the last 28 or something crazy like that. Martin will now retire, I think, with one loss more than one win against the Gators, which is damaging. I mean, it is. He owned that for 39 years or whatever, 37, 38 years. And then Florida just destroyed him at the end. So maybe that's the reason why. Maybe that's the reason why Gators are like, listen, we kicked the living snot out of him. You want to play here in Jackson, we'll beat him. You want to play here in Hogtown, we'll beat him. You want to go over to Godspeed, we'll beat him. Well, I mean, it doesn't matter where we play, we'll beat him. And the Gators weren't any good this year. Doesn't matter how good we are. Doesn't matter how bad we are. Doesn't matter if we play day, night. Doesn't matter if we play on a Tuesday or whenever. I mean, Florida's going to beat them. But to bend backwards now and say, hey, you wanted to win? What the hell's wrong with people these days? How does that happen, LeVay? Are you pulling for Mike Martin to win in the College World Series?
I can honestly say that I'm not necessarily pulling for him, but I mean, I'm not rooting against him, to be honest. I might be on the other side of this, Rick.
No, you're not on the other side of it. I told you, a lot of people came up to me today and said it. It's not like I was wearing a Mike Martin 11 shirt when I was playing golf today, but people just approached me and were like, yeah, I'm pulling for Mike Martin.
I feel like it goes back to what you talk a lot of, just how great a person he is, and you want to root for a guy like that to go off on a high note.
Did people root for Bobby Bowden to win here against West Virginia in the Gator Bowl to wrap up his career?
I mean, probably not a ton, but I know a few that did, honestly.
I don't know.
Maybe tip of the cap.
Maybe they felt bad for Bobby at the end of the road, those 7-6 or whatever type of years. Maybe I just need to get a little bit more sensitive when it comes to evaluating my sports teams. I don't care what the situation is. I wouldn't pull for a Florida team to win a College World Series. I don't care who or what was going on. There's not one fiber in my body that would get me to do that. None. And I'm friends with a ton of Gators. I really, really am. A lot of good people. But there's something that needs to be said in a rivalry. You don't root for them. I'm never going to root for the Montreal Canadiens. I'm never going to root for the New York Yankees. I mean, what's it going to be like 20 years down the road if Bill O'Brien's still the coach of the Houston Texans and Houston's won all these divisional titles and made it to the championship game and all this and all that, and then all of a sudden he gets to the Super Bowl. Are Jag fans going to be like, let's pull for Bill O'Brien? Or if Mike Vrabel over the next 10, 12 years Mike Vrabel becomes the next great coach, replacing Bill Belichick's, winning all these games. But all of a sudden, he gets to the Super Bowl, and he becomes Bud Grant. Or he gets in the playoffs, and he becomes Marty Schottenheimer, where he can't get out of his own way. Then all of a sudden, it's all clicking. Are Jag fans going to be like, yeah, I've always hated Tennessee. I couldn't stand Jeff Fish. But here's Mike Vrabel. I'm pulling for him. I don't see that. I don't see that at all. Now, Mike Martin's wired differently than Mike Vrabel or Bill O'Brien. I think those two may use language that Mike Martin doesn't use. But it really is a very interesting situation. I learned so much with what I do. And I've been doing this for a long, long time. I don't remember any of this.
I'm curious for you, like, as a Boston fan, when Jeter retired, was there any sort of tip of the cap like that?
None.
Because I know a ton of guys that were like that. That's why I'm interested to see your reaction.
I remember how pissed off I was when Jan Ho Park grooved a pitch to Cal Ripken in the All-Star game. I was like, are you kidding me? We all know that Cal set the record and he's retiring, but Jan Ho Park threw one down the middle of the plate that was going about 85 miles per hour. You know, it's one thing, like, in the NBA All-Star game when Magic came back after AIDS and no one plays defense and he's taking Metalock Lemon half-court shots and making them. That's one thing, but that's really a bona fide exhibition game. Something about the Midsummer Classic in Major League Baseball in the All-Star game still means something. Jan Ho Park, right down the heart of the plate. I had that at 84.8 miles per hour. Cal Ripken. That salute there was an abomination. There's a guy there who was selfish and ended up hurting the Baltimore Orioles more than helping the Baltimore Orioles late in his career. Oh, Cal's going to play today. Oh, that's great. He's going to go 0 for 4. Yeah, but he's playing. It's the way I looked at it. Again, I'm wired differently. I know that for the most part, I'm almost always right in my opinion. But I was miffed by that. So the Jeter situation, nah. Matter of fact, if I remember correctly, didn't his career end with like a walk-off single?
I'm pretty sure it did.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it did too. And I think I was pretty sure I was pissed off about it. Derek Jeter. I watched that guy every single time Derek Jeter came to the plate. He was a monster. He just ate up pitches. I swear, every time he had an at-bat against the Red Sox, he drew that count full. He just made Boston, whether they were starters or relievers, just work it and work it and work it. You think Derek Jeter was ever going to hop on a first pitch? Uh-uh. He worked every count full. I know people don't analyze box scores anymore. Instead, they just go to Twitter and check out what their WAR is. Okay? But for a pitcher, nothing's more important, in my opinion, than a first pitch strike. And for a hitter, nothing's more important, in my opinion, than pitches that he saw throughout the evening. And if you average 4 to 5 at-bats a night, most is somewhere in the neighborhood of 4.5 at-bats at night. And you look at guys that are up there, they have 4 at-bats, and they end up seeing 9 pitches. What does that mean? He's swinging early. You look at Derek Jeter. That guy at times would have that guy at times would have 5 at-bats in one night, and you'd look, and the guy would have 30 pitches or 32, 33 pitches he saw because he was drawing the count full every at-bat. Not only that, but it was 3-2, and he was fouling pitches off, or he was fouling off, you know, a 1-2, the 2-2, a foul, another foul, the 3-2, foul. I mean, that's a great hitter. Working pitchers. But I never rooted for him. No way. Just can't do it. But you know, I'm not telling you what to do. Okay? I'm just telling you I'm surprised at what some of you people do, in fact, do. I think there's a time where, yeah, a guy can go elsewhere. Now, look at that same program and your hate for Urban Meyer. Oh, by the way, the Tony Joyner murder, the fact that people are dropping that on Urban Meyer is just beyond absurd. I mean, come on. When giving an opportunity, I'm absolutely going to pick on Urban Meyer, or at least take a shot. But you can't blame the 2016 February murder of Tony Joyner's wife on Urban Meyer. I mean, seriously, what's going to make people feel good about this? Do you need Urban to address the media tomorrow, to call a press conference and say, sorry, guys, this is on me? I don't even think that Urban recruited Tony Joyner. I want to say that he was a Ron Zook recruit. And he played next to Reggie Nelson on that defense when they won a Natty in 2006. It's an awful story. But again, we're jumping right over the young lady who was murdered because some people are so vicious, they just want to attack Urban Meyer. A life was lost. And people, because of their own agenda, want to attack Urban Meyer. Think about how foolish that is. Think about how stupid that is. And they even go read any story about this. You're going to read about Aaron Hernandez. You're going to read about during the tenure of Urban Meyer, like 33 players were arrested. Why? I mean, it's been 10 years. It's now been 13 years. The murder happened apparently in very early 2016. But why does it work that way? You know, I'd love to take a shot at him, but I mean, come on, fair is fair. This isn't Urban Meyer's fault. And we're dismissing the young lady who was murdered just because people want to blame Urban Meyer. God, it's sad. It's amazing how some people work. You got people right there who work that way. I mean, that's a real serious situation. Here I am trying to have a little bit of fun with Gator fans rolling with Mike Martin. At least that's a feel-good story. And the other side is vicious. This one's not Urban's fault. It's not. It has nothing to do with Urban Meyer. Nothing to do with him. All right. Tordillo's going to get to Kellen Winslow. We'll come back. We'll talk about that a little bit. That's Winslow Jr. He's going away for raping a 58-year-old homeless woman in San Diego. He also fondled a 77-year-old woman in a hot tub. This man's going away. Wow. What a bizarre story. Kellen Winslow Jr. And from the Silver Spoon, daddy a Hall of Famer, very outspoken. Great life he had. He has completely fallen off the deep end. We'll come back. We'll mention that as we get to Truth Teller News and Notes.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right. News and Notes, 30 seconds away. Brought to you by truckcrashlaw.com. This is from the 6569. Yo, Ricky, I would have never thought that you were wired like an a-hole. Real sportsmen will want to see good men do well, except for a-holes like you. Freaking grow up, son. All right. What I'd like to know is this. You think that's a Gator fan rooting for a Knoll trying to tell me to grow up, or that's just a pissed off Seminole fan saying, Blue, why aren't you totally behind this 100%? Gator fans want to join in into the party. Let them. Which is it?
Man, I don't know if it's either. I got a feeling this isn't an either, honestly, Rick.
Well, if it's not an either, then why the comment?
Just because he's a guy that wants to say something about you hating on people.
Right.
As LeVar would put it.
You are a hater.
I'm not a hater. I have respect for rivalries.
No,
Not you, but the guy that was calling the hater against you is what I'm trying to say.
Oh, okay. Well, if that's the case, then we are good. Truth Teller News and Notes brought to you by TruckCrashLaw.com, based right here in Jacksonville. Do wonderful things, particularly if someone has been injured, and it's a very trying time for them. It happened on the road brought by a tractor trailer, a truck, an RV, a bus, anything on those lines, and a serious injury even could have been fatal. Make sure that they're in the hands of the only professionals in this town where this is all they do. Okay, and it's statewide. This is their expertise, truckcrashlaw.com. Kellen Winslow Jr. is going away. He has been found guilty. A jury of eight said that he has been convicted of raping a 58-year-old homeless woman in San Diego. The jury also found him guilty of indecent exposure, lewd conduct. This was while he was in a hot tub with a 77-year-old woman. Overall, five different, you know, it goes on here to say they're continuing to deliberate on two more counts of rape involving a hitchhiker and an unconscious teenage girl. So, I mean, he was with a 77-year-old woman, a 58-year-old woman, a teenage girl. What a predator. Kellen Winslow Jr. And it said the five that testified against him, not one of them was even aware of the fact that he was, in fact, famous. Prosecutors have found evidence that included traces of Winslow's DNA on one of the accuser's pants. And GPS locations placed him where the women, in fact, said the assaults did occur. Nothing has been announced as of yet as far as the penalty phase and all of this. I think we all remember Winslow Jr., you know, and his soldier comment and, you know, his dad, one of the great tight ends to ever play the game. Winslow was part of that great era with the U where you had Bubba Franks and then you had Jeremy Shockey, then you had Kellen Winslow Jr., such a talented player, had a nice NFL career, not a great one, but it was a nice one. It's going away. Sad ending for Kellen Winslow Jr. Apparently, it's all on him. If he did it, he's gonna pay the crime. Terry Bowden is going to be an intern at Clemson. It's one of the craziest stories I've seen in a while. Terry Bowden, of course, the one-time head coach at Auburn, then he went off to Akron, no longer there, so now going to Clemson, an unpaid job as an intern. He'll help out with Dabo Swinney and company. Game 5 getting set for tonight. That's coming up in about 30 minutes. It'll be in Toronto where they're printing banners right now. Kevin Durant will go with the calf. He will start tonight. Golden State. LeVay, can Golden State win three straight in this series? I think, you tell me first.
I mean, if any team can do it, this team absolutely can. I do think it's unlikely they're going to win three straight, though.
Yeah.
But if anyone can do it, oh, yeah, this team is absolutely built to do it.
I think they can do it as well. We've only seen it once in the history of the NBA, down 3-1. That was the 2016 Cleveland Cavaliers against San Antonio. Excuse me, against Golden State. We'll see what happens tonight. Again, that's coming up a little bit after 9 o'clock. That's a career for Tony Parker. 4 rings in 18 years. The 37-year-old was really good during his day in San Antonio. He announced that this is it. He is getting himself out of it. And again, he will retire at the age of 37. That's a good life. 18 years in the NBA. Congratulations to Tony Parker. 4 NBA rings. I still think that great run by San Antonio will go down as one of the more underrated runs in all of sports. You know, I was going to bring up some odds tonight for the United States Open because it'll take place this week out at Pebble Beach, and I'm pretty excited about it. Brooks Koepka is your overall leader at 8-1. Tiger, I think, was 4th on the board at 12-1. But I was looking at some stuff today that I received from Vegas as far as some odds. And I thought, well, I may have to bring you into this one because there's an entertainment fight odd that is now out in Las Vegas that you can wager on. And that is a fight between Justin Bieber and Tom Cruise.
The Biebs is younger and in shape. I'm going to go with the Biebs on that one.
But what is going on? Apparently, something has happened, and I read this somewhere on social media. It was on Twitter where Justin Bieber came out and said, I want to challenge Tom Cruise to fight in the octagon. Tom, if you don't take this fight, you're scared and you will never live it down. Who is willing to put on the fight? And then he puts it out to Dana White for something like this. I'm going to be the first to tell you right now, I think Tom Cruise kicks his ass. Cruise has got like that wrestling background. He played defensive back. He was the slowest, most unskilled, shortest. He was like a 5'3" defensive back in what was the name of that movie? In the mills of Pennsylvania when it was all what was it called? Anything good? What was the name of that movie? You remember that movie? Come on, Thompson, you got to remember the name of that movie. What was it called?
Yeah, I wasn't listening because I was telling LaVey we got a mic.
Yeah, Mike went down. I don't know if it was the Weekend Guys who did it or what.
Yeah, it wasn't me.
Well, it wasn't me either, and I talked to Gibby about it because I know when things happen around here, I usually get blamed for it.
I need you to get blamed because when you don't get blamed, we do.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean.
Tom Cruise would beat the crap out of
the people. Bruins lost. Blue ruined a microphone or something along those lines. No. Bruins won. I didn't ruin anything. I came in and it was that way. So.
Cruise would beat the tar out of Bieber.
Yeah. What was the name of that movie, though, in the 80s that when he played defensive back?
Oh. I don't know.
Yeah, you should
Cruise?
Know. Tom? Yeah, Tom Cruise played DB. He did.
In
All the Right Moves, it was called.
It was like Pop Warner?
No, it was high school.
He can't make weight for high school.
He was like 5'3".
Tiny.
He was like a 5'3" DB.
But I feel like he's got some grapple in him. I think he could take Biebs.
So there you go. That is news and notes brought to you by truckcrashlaw.com.
Now, the 2-minute drill delivered by Moe's Southwest Grill.
Welcome to Moe's!
At Moe's, our caterings come with a heaping side of peace of mind, not to mention the free chips and salsa, delivery, and setup. Visit Moe'sCateringFL.com.
All right, Denny Thompson is here with James Coleman. It is time right now for the Sports Den.
Mandatory minicamp already.
Mm-hmm.
Already.
Big story with Unique.
I'm glad I asked you today what time we needed to be there, because I would have shown up at 10:45.
Yeah, let me double-check this for
no,
you.
No, you were right. You're
I didn't
right.
even mention it because of all the distractions.
You're right. Marone's on at 8:25, and then practice follows up.
That's too early for me, but what are you going to do about it?
You mean make some calls? Tell them, look.
Yes, please, yeah.
Look, Rick and the sports team need you to push us back a couple hours.
Yeah, your sideline reporter thinks it's a little bit too early. Yeah, 8:25 tomorrow for Marone, then they'll practice at 8:45. To 11:15, Jalen Ramsey is going to meet the media tomorrow after
really?
Practice.
Day yes. one.
11:45.
Wow.
Actually, 11:15, excuse me. Locker room open till noon. So I'm going to have a lot of player reaction. This really stinks now. You got to go in the locker room and you got to ask questions about Unique. I mean, you don't have to.
You don't have to. But, I mean, you already know what the answer is.
But I will. 8:25 on Wednesday is John DeFilippo, then Nick Foles at 11:15.
Said,
on Wednesday.
But I will.
Well, I mean, it's
does anybody blame the dude?
No.
Is there anybody in Jacksonville that's mad at Unique about this?
No. But why? The only thing I don't understand is why did he say what he said?
I mean, we've all said stuff that we didn't really mean. I don't know. I said the same thing for the first week that he was gone, and then it was kind of like, all right, his agent. You know, finally got a hold of him or something. I don't know.
You think he got caught up in the moment and went with it? Or do you think it might have been a little bit of a strategy?
I think it was a strategy.
Here's my good faith to the organization. Let's let everyone hear it. And the next day, the agent called and they said, we don't have the money to do anything right now. Or they lowballed him. And he said, okay, well, then I'll take some time off.
I think he heard Coach Coughlin yell at all of us at the State of the Jags. And yep. said, you know what, I'm going to try to play this a little different way than Telvin played it. And it backfired.
Yeah.
It backfired. I guess everybody else is going to be there, right, from what we know. We know Jalen's going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Because did you see the video he released today?
Yeah, he's back in town.
Yeah, we're going to critique that video that he released today. Mm-hmm. He'll be Fournette will be there, right?
Yeah, I would expect him there.
Is there anybody else that's even in danger?
Well, you can find guys now if they don't show. So these guys aren't going to take. They're not going to take hits. You know, the money is what they care about. If yeah. you can find them, they're not going to do that.
Which is why I think regardless of whether or not they get a deal done or not, Ngakoue will be there in July. Because this is by far the most money he's ever made this coming year. Right. Was it $2 million?
$2,025,000.
And it's, you know, nine times less than what his market value is. But it's still $2 million to a guy that's never made more than a mil.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to be there. I just don't blame him for doing it this way. I wish the Jags could find a way to get this done.
And there's been one holdout in Jaguars history that was in Reese Jones' room. We all remember how Shad Khan treated that. Yes. So, now, listen, Unique's a better football player than Maurice Jones-Drew was at that time. But still, it's a precedent-setting situation for this ownership group that it basically said, don't bother holding out because we're not going to do anything about it.
So are you saying that Unique needs to stay away from the conch house?
Yes, I am. All right, what's coming up besides all the good stuff with Unique Ngakoue?
A lot of minicamp stuff. Talk a little bit about the Guggen today. It was a good time.
It was a fun time until the rain came.
Yeah, how many holes y'all get in?
14.
Yeah, we were the same. I just striped one on a par 5 and had like, I don't know, 155 on my second shot. And then that lightning hit right behind us. And it was like, I'm out.
I played the 3 par 5s today, 6, 7, 7. I never got to the fourth one.
Really?
Yeah, it was awful. I mean, I had a good day outside of that. Mm-hmm. I had one or two other doubles. I mostly par. I played well, but for some reason or another, I could not play on the par fives today.
The course was in good shape.
Oh, it's a great place. Slimmer and Squire is just outstanding.
Yeah,
I love it.
Really well done. Everything went really smooth except for the weather. And that's, I'm gonna blame that on Fran.
Fun tournament and everything went in a spectacular way. Just too bad we couldn't get in. But another hour's worth would have been good.
Yep.
All right, Denny, have fun.
All right.
All right, Denny Thompson, James Coleman coming up right now. The producer's Matt LaVey. Remember, tomorrow night we push it back an hour because of Helmets and Heels. All right, they'll be on from 6 to 8. I'll come on at 8 o'clock. But it'll be a very busy Tuesday, and we will have the very latest on Unique Ngakoue. Again, Jalen Ramsey is going to meet the media tomorrow after day one of mandatory minicamp. That's expected to happen at 11:15. So we'll have reaction from that. A lot going on these next 3 days, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday on the Jaguars. Folks, have a great night. My name's Rick Ballew. I'll talk with you then.